is your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey.
Rebound is
this is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, only on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, it is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, presented by AAA. Always open for the assist. This is our final Fanatic Flyers Weekly for the season, as the Flyers season will end tonight. The last game against the New Jersey Devils right here at the Wells Fargo Center on Military Appreciation Night. And it'll be Brian Elliott. Is he making his last start, his last appearance as a Philadelphia Flyer? Are other players making their last appearance and playing their last game as a Philadelphia Flyer? Just how much change is going to come in this offseason? Because when this season began, what is it, 56 games in 119 days? Is that what it was, Ty? Tyler's back at the station.
Something like that. It was a lot of games in a short amount of time.
So when we sat here on January 13th, and the Flyers were getting ready to start this season against the Pittsburgh Penguins, the first two games on the 13th and 15th against the Pens. Incidentally, they got a 6-2 win, I think, and a 6-3 win over the Pens in those first two games. And they got off to that great start. And we sat here on that night, and we never would have dreamed that on May 10th, when the regular season ended, that that would be it. This would be the game that not just ended the regular season, but ended their season. With the progressive step forward that they took last year in Alain Vigneault's first year, and the goaltending of Carter Hart, the emergence of some young players, and the next step in the level of progression of guys like Travis Sanheim and Phil Myers, Ivan Provorov, who was playing at that the last year along with Matt Niskanen, and other players, that going into this season, we thought that, hey, the playoffs are not only a foregone conclusion, but it's time to take the next step beyond winning a round of the playoffs and getting to a game seven in the second round against the New York Islanders. It was time to go for a conference final four and a chance to get to the Stanley Cup and get back there and roll the dice and see what could happen. But that's not what happened. We couldn't fathom that we'd be here on this night saying goodbye to the team for a year, for the season. But that's exactly where we are. And there's so many questions that need to be answered in this offseason after a season like this. Now, there are other variables. We're not oblivious to that. I don't think the fan base is oblivious to it either. And they're not excuses. They're realities. You know, it was a COVID season. They had a COVID pause. Several players were out with COVID. And they had a condensed schedule. Everybody did. Theirs was a little further condensed. Other teams had their schedules further condensed as well because they had COVID pauses. Yeah, they had 19 games in 33 days at one point and didn't have more than a day off between games for that entire period. But other teams went through similar stretches. Some survived it. Some of them didn't. The Flyers didn't. Why is that? And when you look at everything and the construction of the roster, the talent that currently resides here, does it fit? Is it the right talent? Is it the right talent to play with this talent? Did they not have enough grit, enough accountability for the opposition on the ice? Did the goaltending fall apart because of the defense, or did the team fall apart because of the goaltending? It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? These are all questions that need to be answered. They've been discussing these questions already. But when you look at, and I put together this, for lack of a better term, a hit list of the questions for today's Flyers Daily episode off the top of my head. So I recategorized them, and the top pair defense, that part of the equation, coming into the season without Matt Niskanen, who retired, and coming in without having that definitive top pair right side guy with Ivan Provorov, was a huge problem. It's been a huge problem all year because you have to be able to limit the opposition's top lines in this sport. You may not be able to stop them all the time, but you got to be able to limit them. And they couldn't. They didn't limit this year. The year prior, first year of Alain Vigneault, Alexander Ovechkin in four games against the Flyers went pointless and was a -4. This year, he absolutely torched them. The perfection line in Boston with Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak. The year before, they did a little damage. This year, they did a ton of damage against the Flyers. They feasted on them. The top line of the New York Rangers with Mika Zibanejad feasted on the Flyers. And you saw it throughout. If you don't have a top pairing that can limit the opposition, look, the forwards go into that as well. That's team defense. But that is a huge question mark as we head into this offseason. And if that's not right at the top of the list, I don't know what is. Because if you fix that, that also helps your goaltender. That helps your team defense. They were a team last year that gave up the seventh fewest goals in the league. This year, the most. That's a huge question mark. And that's one that Chuck Fletcher needs to figure out. You got to look at the curve and the progression of players like Phil Myers, who was on a great trajectory until he wasn't this year. What is the future of a guy like Phil Myers coming off of this season? Healthy, scratched multiple times. He's played over 100 games now. They say you can't really truly see what a defenseman is in the NHL until he's played 300 games. Well, with the limited data that you have then in comparison, where's Phil Myers? Where's he fit in? Travis Sanheim had a very erratic year. He had moments where I thought he was really good. He had some moments where I thought he was not good. And a little bit in between. What about Shane Gostisbehere? He's back in the lineup tonight. Is this the last we see of Shane Gostisbehere in Philadelphia? They put him through waivers. I think he played his best hockey after he was put through waivers. He started off the year on the COVID protocol list. Played a little bit, then was healthy scratch kind of here and there. And Eric Gustafson was in and out of the lineup in an experiment that clearly didn't work with Eric Gustafson. Shane Gostisbehere got put through waivers and cleared because of his contract. What's the future of Shane Gostisbehere? Does a guy in Cam York affect that? Now, Cam York's played two games in the NHL. But he looked as poised as anybody back there this entire season on their blue line. And he's a guy that can run the power play. Is he a guy that's ticketed for the Flyers roster at the beginning of next year? We've seen so little of him. But what we've seen has been really good. I mean, you're making a leap if you're going to assume that that's what he's going to be for 82 games next year. He's going to go through good play and bad play. Every player does. Success is not a straight line in the NHL. But where, because of a guy like Cam York and what you've seen in a limited amount of time, does that ticket Shane Gostisbehere that he's playing his last game here tonight as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers? You got an expansion draft coming. Who's gonna be a Seattle Kraken from the Flyers? Is it going to be a high-ticket player? A player like James Van Riemsdyk, who's having a pretty darn good year? Or a player like Jake Voracek, who has put up a ton of points for this team? Not only this season, but throughout his career here. Now, it doesn't matter what you've done in your career. It doesn't. But Jake Voracek leads this team in points for the season. He's got 43 points in 52 games. Is it going to be Jake Voracek in that $8-plus million average annual value contract that's got a couple of 3 years left on it? Is that the player? Or are the Flyers going to have to sweeten the pot with either draft pick and a prospect or both to get Seattle to take one of those players? Is that the route they go? There's so many questions. Do they keep their first-round pick this year, or is it part of some sort of deal in the expansion draft? Are they going to add a scorer? And as I talked about on Flyers Daily, I'm not talking about Patrick Laine, who, when he's not scoring, can't do anything else on the ice and is selectively engaged. I'm talking about a guy that when he gets in to the top of the circles, you know he is going to fire the puck. He's going to shoot to score. And the players around him know that when he gets in certain areas, he is shooting the puck. One of the issues with this team is, yeah, there are too many pass-first guys. You need a trigger man. Who is that guy? You're going to have to trade for him? You're going to have to find him in free agency? Who's that guy? Because you need that element. They need that element. How are they going to get year one Kevin Hayes back instead of year two Kevin Hayes? That's a big question. Now, that's going to be incumbent upon Kevin Hayes. Well, his numbers aren't horrible this season. 12 goals, 17 assists. They're not good either. He was healthy scratched on what would have been his 500th game. That's telling. How do you get year one Kevin Hayes back in Philadelphia next year? Not only 5-on-5, penalty kill Kevin Hayes. How do you get that back next year? That's a big question mark. You going to add some nasty to this lineup? This lineup lacks it. Unless Sam Moran's in it, it lacks nasty. You need a little nasty. They don't have it right now. And if you're going to have success in the playoffs, they had it the year before. They traded for Nate Thompson, and he was a guy that brought a little bit of that. Not a ton of it, but a little bit of that. You need to add a little bit of that. Now, this guy's got to be able to play hockey. You got to be able to play hockey. But they need to add some nasty into this lineup. Some on-ice accountability for the team you're playing against. Create a little fear. I know that's not the way the game is for the most part now. And this city had it in spades for decades. But it's almost like we countersteered a little too far and don't have any of it now. You need a little bit of that. That makes skilled players on the ice feel bigger and protected. It gives them more space. Got to find that. If you want to be successful, ultimately, you got to find that. And I brought it off right up the top. The goaltending situation. It has been statistically an atrocious year for Carter Hart. Is it all on him? No. Is some of it on him? Yes. What's the goaltending duo going to look like next year? As I mentioned, Brian Elliott's going to get the start tonight. He will be in the Flyers' crease tonight. Is it his last game as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers? Now, Brian Elliott's been a good soldier here. And when rested, he's given them really good quality goaltending. But Brian Elliott's 36 years old. Just turned yesterday. Or just turned a month ago, excuse me. So next year, can you come back with Brian Elliott? Because if Carter Hart either gets hurt or struggles, and you need that goaltender to carry the mail for 3 to 6 weeks, is Brian Elliott the guy to do it in an 82-game season where the schedule's not as condensed? Or are you going to go out and are you going to grab a guy like James Reimer, who was a starter, a veteran, 33 years old, but can still handle carrying it for a period of time? Or are you going to go out and get a younger guy to push Carter Hart, like Jonas Korpisalo, and say, hey, boys, have at it. Whoever's playing better is playing. And push each other. Is that the route to go? I don't know what the route to go there is. I really don't. I tend to lean more towards having that veteran guy there, not only for that veteran experience, but also guidance for a young goaltender in Carter Hart, who's only 22. So these are all questions that need to be answered in this offseason. Is it too many questions to answer them all? Feels like it, doesn't it? Like, Ty, it feels like that's too many questions to tackle in one offseason, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And that's what concerns me is, you mentioned at the top of the broadcast, they took a step forward last year. And yes, we can talk about Game 7 against the Islanders and how we, we're not excited about the way the Game 7 played. But in totality, the season was a success. We expected that next step. And now there's more questions than there are answers heading into the 2021-2022 season. It does concern me quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there. You don't have to answer them all because, and maybe there is too many to get an A1 answer to all those or an A1 remedy to all those issues, right? Because you're not going to do that. That's not possible. But there are areas where, if you get a legitimate top pairing right side, right shot defenseman, and say that guy's Dougie Hamilton, who's going to be a free agent unless Carolina extends him. If that's the guy, he solves like three of those problems with one signing. And you didn't have to give up anything to get him. You just had to commit cap space. So, he's a right shot. He settles down your top pair in a huge way for not only a year, but for the next 5 to 7. Number one, he's also 6'3", 230, right? He can play special teams and help your power play. He helps you in so many areas. Certain players do that, right? So that's part of it. And that obviously, that solidification of your top pair, what's the trickle down to that, Ty? That's helping your goaltenders, right?
Sure. And you know, the thing is, too, like you mentioned, trying to fix, you know, maybe one thing or a couple of things as opposed to everything, right? When you look at teams that have multiple deficiencies, like the only leagues that you can do that in one offseason are the leagues where, A, you have a ton of money, and B, there's no salary cap. So, right, like right away, the NHL's out, Major League, or the NBA's out, the NFL's out. Like, really, realistically, the only leagues that you can do that in are Major League Baseball, if you're one of the top five or six teams money wise, or like the Premier League, and you're Manchester City, right? And you have just.
You turn it all over.
You have an infinite amount of money. But, you know, when you're in a salary cap structured league, it's really difficult to answer all those questions at once.
And a flat cap to boot, right?
Right.
Now, you're going to lose somebody in the expansion draft. You just have to make sure it's somebody that you want to lose, i.e. a high-ticket player to create that cap space to allow you to have a little bit more flexibility to go into free agency, go into the trade market, and do some things. So you have that's a huge trickle-down effect of, you know, one of the moves that's going to happen. There's going to be a player lost to the Seattle Kraken. You just have to make sure it's a player that you want to go.
Well, and the cap floor helps, I think, the Flyers, but it also helps a lot of teams. So, like, you're comparing, yeah, is Jake Voracek better than, you know, somebody else's high $7, $8 million contract player who, you know, their fans in their city are also saying, man, I hope the Kraken take this guy, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's difficult because, yes, there's a cap floor, but also they're not going to spend all of their money in the expansion draft, and no team will do that.
No, and they want to have some money to be involved in free agency as well, and in the trade market, because I think they're a team that, like Vegas, is going to try and win immediately, especially considering, you know, that Vegas did what they did immediately and was able to set themselves up. You know, the notion is that Seattle's not going to have the same advantage because Vegas did so well, and that was probably true until the flat cap world came in. And now teams can't avoid it because they have to get out. So they're going to pay that currency to get Seattle to take contracts as a clearinghouse, if you will. So, I mean, the other part of it, too, is, you know, this team and the core, there has to be a shakeup, right?
You would think so. Yeah, I think at this point.
And, I mean, 93 is the guy that would, you know, you kind of kill a lot of birds with one stone in Jake Voracek. Part of the core for a long period of time, makes a lot of money, has multiple years left on said contract. So, I mean, that would be the kind of the, because that'd be a foundational shakeup to the core. And not that he hasn't been a good player, because he has been, but it needs to be shaken. Like, it needs to be grabbed by the ankles, hung over the edge, and shaken in a big way, I think. And I think a lot of people believe that. So, you know, I mean, I just gave you like 10 questions that, and they were all kind of off the top of my head. There's even more. There's a lot of, you know, Chuck Fletcher has said that the coaching staff is safe when it asked about Alain Vigneault and his staff and was very, is there going to be any changes? No. And that was it. That was the answer. But, I mean, is there changes to the goalie coach and Kim Dillabaugh? Is there changes to assistants? You know, what are the organizational philosophies and how do they shift? That's another big question that we don't know the answer to. I think this offseason is going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason because I think you're going to see a general manager in Chuck Fletcher who knows it's his time now to put his stamp on this franchise. Now, he signed Kevin Hayes, and that was a big move. But, you know, it's time for him to really put his stamp on this franchise that he kind of inherited from Ron Hextall.
Yeah, I think fascinating is a great word. I also would add, not just is it going to be exciting to see what happens, I think it's going to be critical to see what happens, not only the success of the organization moving forward, but like you said, everybody's job is safe this year. How much longer do jobs stay safe if things don't turn around? So it's not just kind of a fun offseason to hope that the Flyers can turn things around from an on-ice product, but it also, I think it has a lot of value to multiple people's jobs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think, too, Ty, that the other part about it is this, is, you know, they're a team. Right now they feel so far away. They do. They feel like we're at Pluto and success is the sun, right? And they're not that far. But they're further than they were last year. And in this moment, it feels maybe they weren't as close to the sun as they were as we thought they were last year. And they're not as far away from the sun as they are now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a really good analogy. I'm wondering if we overestimated them last year, or do we underestimate them this year heading into this offseason? Like, heading into this offseason before the season started, were we so enamored with the fact that they took a big leap? You know, they had such a successful bubble, and they, you know, were a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Or are we over-evaluating this poor season? You know, like, can you balance
and
the two?
And all the variables, too.
Right, yeah. Can you balance the two? Yeah,
the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? You're never as good as
you
think
would hope.
You are. You're never as bad as you think you are. So the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but which way does it even lean? I don't even know how to answer it at this point, right? So it's going to be fascinating. Chuck Fletcher's got his work cut out for him this offseason. He's a smart man. I think that, you know, because they have all of their prospects and picks, he has a lot of versatility to get a lot done. But, you know, again, like, Nolan Patrick will play tonight. Is this the last game of Nolan Patrick as a Philadelphia Flyer, a former second overall pick who's just played three seasons in the NHL in 4 years? It could be. It could be. Is Morgan Frost ticketed for this lineup next year? He had a season taken from him with the shoulder injury in the second game this year. You know, I mean, you look at the emergence of Joel Farabee and so many young players around the NHL. So there's so many questions. But let's get to the phones, and everybody, we'll take a break. But I want to know what the questions are from the fan base as we head into this period. I'm not ready for the season to be over. I know it's been frustrating, but I'm not ready for it to be over. I thought May 10th was kind of a beginning. The beginning of the next postseason to see if they could go further. It turns out to be an end date, not a beginning date. And I'm frankly pissed about it. And I think a lot of people are. Because, again, 119 days ago, we didn't think that this is what this would be on this date. All right, here's the phone number, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. It is Flyers Weekly, brought to you by AAA, always open for the assist. I've done a lot of talking. I want to hear from the fan base and the Flyer fans right now. You know where I stand on it. I'm not happy. 610-632-0975. Tyler's not happy. I guarantee a lot of people aren't happy. Let's take a break. We'll come back, get right to the phones. We're back after this on Flyers Weekly on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is Fanatic Flyers Weekly
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And we are back live at the Wells Fargo Center, 6 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Family Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. It is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, which is brought to you, as always, by AAA. Always open for the assist. 610-632-0975 is the number. I want to hear from Flyer fans. Ty, let me ask you a question real quick before we get to the phones. Of all those things we talked about in the open, what's the number one thing on the hit list for you?
Top pair defenseman. I know that Matt Niskanen probably is not your true top pair defenseman anywhere else, but like you always talk about, it's putting guys in places, right? Like putting them in a slot that they're supposed to be in. And that was kind of all out of sorts this season. So for me, I think the primary goal would be to get a top pair defenseman.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the trickle-down effect of that is so huge. I really do. I think it fixes a lot more than I think some people realize. So,
well, and I think that you get two things out of that. Not only do you get a legit top pairing defenseman, but I think it also helps your goaltending.
I totally agree with you. That's the biggest trickle-down effect. And to me, the most important, as you know. Let's get to the phone, 610-632-0975. By the way, the teams are out for warm-up right now. It is the Flyers and the New Jersey Devils. Brian Elliott taking warm-up right now. We also have the Flyers' end-of-season awards. We'll go through that in a minute. Yes. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas right now. Joins us on the Fanatic. Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Jason, Tyler? How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, you know, look, obviously this season, it's been a disaster. It's really one of the worst seasons that I can remember, like, for any of the four teams. With that said, like, I don't know. I'm not totally pessimistic on this team going forward. I think as soon as next year, well, I'm not saying we're going to be cup contenders next year, but I expect us to be back in the playoffs by next year.
Well, it's every other year, so they better be.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of to my point. That's kind of the nature of the NHL, you know. It's a year-to-year league. And look, like I said, this year's been a disaster. We need to make changes. We need to improve our defense quite a bit. But honestly, there's just a lot of young players that I like on this team. I think they're going to be all right.
Like who are, you said the young players. Like, so who are some of the young players? Because we've seen some of the young players regress.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen some new faces, guys like Wade Allison. We've seen Cam York only a couple of games, but I've been impressed with what I've seen out of him. But I recognize it's only two games. And I've seen Nolan Patrick have, I don't even know what's going on with him this season.
Yeah, Jason, I guess it's like the core players, Provorov, Hart, Lindblom, like these younger guys. I just believe in the core. And obviously for a hockey team, you need 20, 22 guys, you know. So you need depth. I understand that. But I don't know. I believe in Konechny and Lindblom. Like, I think Konechny is going to get it going again. And look, maybe it's just my blind optimism, I guess. But I just think this team's going to be all right. I take this season, put it in the trash, put it in the bag, sir, and let's get to next year.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Chuck. Look, there's some guys there that I believe in, too. Now, Travis Konechny is an interesting case study, right? Because he's a guy that 24 goals the last two seasons, last year in shortened season, he's on a 30-goal pace. But this year, really in the bubble last year, was ineffective. A lot of the points this season, he was ineffective. We know what he needs to do to be an effective player. We just need to see it again. And look, I don't know what the effect is on players in this situation. I really don't. I have no idea what it's like for these guys who are playing this sport in semi-empty buildings at this point and were under much stricter protocols than we were as a society. But frankly, I've seen a lot of players succeed in it and a lot not. So to me, it's just a lot of excuse making. But players need they need to be better. There's guys that need to be better and need to be pros and need to be professionals. And I think we saw from a certain group of players this year that not be the case. And that's discouraging. Let's go to Andrew in Ocean City on the Fanatic. Yo, Andrew.
Oh, how are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing good, man.
Good. Thanks for having me on the show. I just for Flyers, I'm ready for the season to conclude. Probably been a little while coming now because just their poor play, and some of it's excusable. Some of it is just, I don't know. One of those down years, you chalk it up to a number of factors, especially the lack of a number one line defenseman. That was a glaring hole for sure.
Oh yeah, and that's a pretty fatal flaw, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm looking forward to next year. All hope's not lost. I think, you know, we can bounce back. Be one of those bottom half playoff seeds next year. I like to see Wade Allison take another step. He looks promising out there. Claude Giroux's in the final year of his contract. So we might be looking at a youth turnover. I'd like to see Voracek maybe bump down a couple lines because he's not producing like a true top line forward.
He's he's not a center. He's a winger. But he's also leading the team in points. So
I guess.
You know.
So maybe it's not Voracek.
I think the idea of Jake Voracek for a lot of people in the fan base is different than what Jake Voracek is. I mean, you look at him, and he's a high-risk offensive player. He'll turn some pucks over in the offensive zone. But he is a guy that puts up pretty big numbers.
Okay. That's a good analysis.
With that being said, I think that he is a guy that could be a Seattle Kraken next year.
Or JVR, definitely. Those guys I've heard are a couple of the big names that might get poached if they decide to take on the salary. Because I think Voracek's got 3 years left and JVR two.
If I asked you this question, let me just ask you this really bizarre question. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Since the 2012-13 season, Jake Voracek, as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers, where do you think he ranks in the NHL in points?
Wow.
Top 50, top 70, top 10?
Yeah, you gotta go. Well, if he would put me on the spot, then he's probably produced with the top 10. I'll go as high as top. And it's since 2012, so 8-9 years now. I'll say he's probably number six.
Number six?
Seven. Or seven?
No, he's 15th.
So
in that period of time, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Andrew. In that period of time, he's played 648 games, got 555 points. 555. And look, a lot of people, the way they speak about him, want to make you think he's trash. He's been a very productive player. But there is risk to his game. And look, if you're going to make core change with this team, that he might be the prime candidate, right? So, but how do you gotta look at when you want to get rid of a guy, like, what are you replacing him with? Because you do have to replace his productivity. It's one of the reasons why when people first saw the Scott Laughton extension, they got mad. They're like, that's ridiculous. This team doesn't deserve anybody to resign because they're playing poorly. But what's the cost per replacement for that player? It would have cost you more than that to get what you get from Scott Laughton. Not that Scott Laughton's going to give you, a 65-point season. That's not who he is. So you have to consider that. You have to build a team. And for the deal that Scott Laughton signed, and he wanted to stay here, he was drafted here. And, for that deal, it's a value deal. It's good value. So you can't just look at it as pragmatic, say, just get rid of everybody. It just doesn't work like that. It's not a sport where you can do that. But, I'm looking down at warm-up right now. Like, I'm looking down here and I'm going, of these, 20 total players on the ice, who won't be on that ice for warm-up on opening night next year? Justin Braun? Yeah, he'll be here. Last year of his contract. Veteran defenseman. As long as he's playing your bottom six, you're good. Couturier? Yep, he's going to be here. Travis Konechny? 80% chance. Nolan Patrick? I'll go coin flip. Joel Farabee? Yeah, he'll be here. Wade Allison, I believe he will be here. James Van Riemsdyk? That's a coin flip. Kevin Hayes? He's going to be here. He's got a no-move clause for one more year. Shane Gostisbehere? I'd say about 25% chance he's here. Phil Myers? I'd say about 75% chance he's here. He wouldn't be a guy that would shock me if he was put into a deal. Jake Voracek? That's a coin flip. Travis Konechny, again, like 80% chance. I'm trying to see who else is out there. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. Scott Laughton's going to be here. Just signed an extension. Claude Giroux's going to be here. Brian Elliott, probably not. Alex Lyon, probably with the Phantoms if he's in the organization still. He's in the last year of his deal. So you wonder these things. You look down and you wonder, who's going to be here coming up in 5 months? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be here. We'll see. What I know is that all those guys that are down there right now, not all of them are going to be here. No way. Provorov, yep, they'll be here. As I look over at number 9. Nicholas Aulbay-Kubel, I don't know. They need some players. they need to make some changes, and we'll see what Chuck Fletcher's able to accomplish in this offseason. I mean, some of the fascinating ones to me, though, are Shane Gostisbehere. Part of that's also the way he started his career here. Let's go to Colin and Delco before we get out of here real quick. Colin, what's up?
Hey, Jason. It's been the longest shortened season I've ever had. But I'm confident in some of the young players to step back up next year. On defense, I think Provorov and Sanheim, they had their struggle, but they can come back strong. Mm-hmm. Phil Myers is the guy that I just have no patience for. I really just run out of leash with him. It seems like he just does not have good instincts on the ice. And he's the same type of player as Sanheim, but he's not nearly as good.
Well, he's a physical freak, but he doesn't think the game nearly as well as Sanheim does. Right?
And I think he just picks the wrong time to jump into the play. It's just bad selection.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of his issues this season have been right between the ears.
Yeah, and the entire defense needs to step up and protect their own net. And I guess that's a team issue. Also, the forwards need to do it because they didn't do it all season. But I would like Jost to be back over Myers. I've stepped up for him over the years. Yeah, I mean, his offensive numbers are good. And at this point, they know he's not going to be the partner to Provorov. They know he can play the power play, and he's not going to be perfect.
What if you go with a guy like Cam York, though, who's a power play guy as well?
York, 20 years old, 20, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you're also opening up cap room, by the way.
Yeah, Gossett there is 4.5, I know.
I got to run, buddy, because we got to get to a break. But I disagree with you on that one. I think people know where I stand in that situation. And I'm not saying that York is the answer. All right, let's put a wrap on Fanatic Flyers Weekly, which is presented by AAA, which is always open for the assist. It is Flyers Devils. Pregame show coming up right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.